Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
A multi-year campaign to turn the opinion, the national opinion of the city around, to change that opinion. Because everywhere has crime. St. Louis is a dangerous city. More dangerous than Memphis. Nobody, people think St. Louis is fun. They think about the Arch and the Cardinals and like, I think that's a fun
and Budweiser
and Budweiser and, you know, and the Clydesdales. Like, they think about all the fun they can have in St. Louis. No, that is the national image of St. Louis is not crime. Now, I don't know that St. Louis has gone on a PR campaign either, but Memphis clearly needs one. And I remember, like, you know, one of the things I remember when Mayor Young was campaigning, when he was doing his race or in the mayor race, was talking about, you know, trying to make Memphis a fun city. Well, and Memphis needs to have fun things to do. I think there needs to be a real effort to not only have a better PR, to actually create fun events to make young people want to be here and want to go do things. I don't know how you do it. I'm not saying like a wag the dog thing where you're lying to people about what's going on here. I'm not saying that either. But I do think it's, you know, most of the people who are committing the crimes, they're not listening to this show or these shows or Stephen A. Smith, and they don't care about NBA teams or anything else.
I think that's the biggest thing is that.
So you're not preaching to those people.
No, but like, I agree that we needed like a more concerted effort put into like, actually advertising.
Yes.
There's a lot of really cool, good things to do in Memphis, in the Memphis area.
Absolutely.
For example, Grind City Media, she's on the show on Jason and John every week. Jessica Benson.
Yep.
She's awesome. You know what she did earlier this week? It might have been 2 days ago. Nine full tweets worth of different things that are awesome about the city of Memphis and things to do. But it shouldn't have to come from people in responding to a national media saying the city is this crime-ridden, like awful place to be, when clearly there's plenty of stuff to go do, plenty of stuff to see.
I hear her championing the city for somebody who is
a
transplant. I hear her championing the city more than anybody on the air. She is just as good of like a PR rep for Memphis than I hear anybody on the air.
Book it. New job.
I really is. Mayor Young, reach out to Jessica Benson and say, hey, I like what you're doing. What can we do to make this even bigger? Because she's clearly doing something right. Because every time I hear her, she's saying something great about the city of Memphis and how much fun she has here and how much she likes living downtown with her and her husband and doing things out in the community. I feel like there needs to be, and so when something like this happens with Stephen A. Smith or whatever these podcasts, it's like the people who are not doing the crimes are the ones going, yep, there Memphis goes again. And then there's the rest of the state of Tennessee. People are like, people who maybe moved away from here to Nashville or Knoxville and are like, man, I'm so glad I left that crap hole. And like, you know, and you let that narrative continue. And I just feel like I would love for there to be some sort of literal deliberate effort, whether it be hiring an outside consultant to or a marketing firm to come out, you know, come in from the outside and figure out, okay, how can we make this look better, get a better nationwide image of ourselves? And it's almost like, I mean, let's, for the sake of this argument, let's ignore, I don't know, the last 20 years of activity and public relations debacle that like Rudy Giuliani has. But in New York, that place was an absolute hellhole. And he was the mayor when I'm sure there's people who lived in New York City at the time this happened and they have other complaints about it. But what I remember is the thing where he said, we're going to make this city look nice. We're going to clean up the trash. We're going to paint over the graffiti. And when somebody graffitis a subway, if they do it at 1 a.m., by 9 a.m. when people go to work tomorrow, we will have repainted this thing to make it look nice. And the image and the vibe of the city changed. It did. It felt safer. It looked nicer. And because it looked nicer and felt safer, people started treating it a little better. Again, it's a New York City, so they have
the resources and all of that.
And they still have a lot of crap. Let's not say they don't. I mean, it's not, they do. But I feel like that, like, it's like that kind of thing of like, all right, we're going to find this money to be like, okay, what do we not like? What gives us a bad image? Besides like the crime of humans that we can't, that we're trying to work on. But I mean, like, even your visual image of when you're driving around the city, is it trash? Is it litter everywhere? Is the interstate covered, sides covered in trash? Does the grass along the highway need to be mowed? Like, how do we make the city look nicer to where people want to take better care of it? If it's already a piece of crap and it looks bad, then you don't feel bad about making it look crappier or feel crappier. If it looks nice and like a cool place to be, well, then I feel like it's just like in your nature to be like, well, I don't want to mess this up. It's awesome. And so I just wish that maybe they're already doing this. And here's the thing. If they're already doing this, nobody knows about it. It's no different than Mud Island. Mud Island and Mud Island Amphitheater. That is waiting to be awesome again. I feel like there is no reason that place should not have a 30 concert season from March to November every year. It should have 30 shows in there every year. And yet nothing, it's just there, sitting there being decrepit.
And the thing is, it's not like there aren't shows going on.
Shows are happening.
Shows are happening.
They're going to Landers.
Radians.
Yeah, they're going to the
Radians Amphitheater. Yeah, they're going to the Botanic Gardens.
They're going to Botanic. They're going to Snowden Grove. I forget what it's called. Bank Plus. They're going to Landers. Grind City Brewing is in that,
redoing their whole thing, and they're going to start doing shows there.
Make an amphitheater.
Yeah,
that's down the street from Mud Island. And like, just get your stuff together. And I mean, I feel like we constantly are like, oh, we just don't know what to do with it. And then we don't have the money to do it. And we just don't know what to do with it. It just feels like somebody.
Sometimes it might just take doing it.
Somebody get your act together. There should be things going on there that's fun. That is a great, you know, it's an awesome part of the city right there, right where Harbor Town is.
Yeah.
Bass Pro, it is right there. It just should be cooler. And maybe they're trying. Maybe I'm preaching the choir and like, hey, idiot, we've been working on this. But I go back to the PR. Public relations is the marketing and getting the word out that something is happening. And I haven't heard. I'll read the paper. I'm a subscriber to the Daily Memphian, and I ain't heard nothing about it. And so, I don't know. Maybe somebody can hear this and they go, we're inspired. We're gonna ask. You know what? Now that this guy says it on 92.9 FM ESPN, now we're going to do something about it. I don't know. I just wanted to stand on my soapbox for a minute and feel like, just let everybody know. I think Memphis needs better PR. I think that's one of the problems, that we let, not only do we talk about, like, allow the conversation to be poor about us and we have a bad narrative, we allow others to say it, and a lot of us don't back up. When people talk trash about us, we don't actually necessarily have a way to fight back or fight back. That's all. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm off my soapbox now for the moment, for the next 5 minutes. All right, we got Partha Apajak coming up in the next hour. We'll talk to him about some Tigers and some other stuff. You're listening to the Jason and John Show. I'm J.R. Moore filling in on 92.9 FM ESPN. This feels so good. Keep it going. I bet everybody in their car right now is like, yeah. Yeah, it's summertime.
Summertime, roll the windows
it's
down.
It's summertime, feeling good. Love this. Just feels right. Get it, Michael McDonald. Ah, crushing it. Welcome back to the show. We've talked some we've talked basketball. We've talked soccer. I don't know, we haven't talked much baseball today.
It is summertime.
It is summertime, and that's baseball. And there's some pretty interesting baseball stuff happening.
In just the last couple days.
It really is. Top of the list is the Rafael Devers stuff just gets wilder and wilder, that this dude went to the Giants and was like, I'll play wherever you need me to play. Whatever you need me to do, I'll play anywhere this team asks me to.
First base, got it.
First base, locked no in. Problem. Locked in. What was happening? Because there had to be more behind the scenes at the Red Sox. You don't just say, I'm not going to do anything helpful for the team. Just because you don't want, for no other reason, because you don't want to, and then go to your new team and be like, yeah, I'll play whatever they want me to play. I'll be the biggest team player. Like, what was happening in that locker room or in that ownership and front office that caused such sour grapes? Do you think it was do you think Alex Bregman bringing him in was the initial thing that got it started and then it went worse from there? Or do you think it was already bad, but they were paying him a bajillion dollars, so he was like, I guess I'll play here?
If you just ask, I think a lot of it came down to the fact that it just doesn't sound like there was a lot of communication going into it, which that could be one-sided, two-sided. You know, it could be on both Devers and the team, but based on what we've read and heard, especially if you go over to ESPN, Jeff Passan has a great, great story over there about the whole situation. It just feels like there's just a lack of communication, just not the best work environment, it sounds like, kind of top to bottom. All of that compounded with, okay, by the way, here's our new everyday third baseman that you were.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
At first they tried to move him to DH, or they did, and he was like, I'm not really feeling it.
Right.
And then Casas gets hurt, and they're like, first?
Can you play first? He's like, no, I'm a DH.
She's like, I thought you guys told me to DH. I left my glove back in the Dominican Republic.
I'm not bringing my glove. I didn't bring my glove to the ballpark anymore. I mean, I guess I see that. It's like a weird, the Red Sox has kind of been a mess since they traded Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
When you gave away Mookie Betts, everybody's like, okay, these guys, what has happened? Why are we doing this? So it's probably not a lot of faith in the front office anyway. But in their defense, if they're trying to get better, do they have to ask Rafael Devers' permission to go sign another awesome player, even if he plays the same position? Or do you just do it and be like, hey, we need you to, we're still paying you. It's not like we're asking you to play a different position and we're taking a pay cut. We're giving you your money. You're still one of our starters. We just need a better defensive player than you because you are not a good defensive player. So we brought in a good one who's also awesome and therefore trying to make our team better. Let's play. And he pitched a fit about that. So that's almost what makes me think, like, was that the first thing that happened that made him pitch a fit? Or has it always been when he was like, another, like, you know, kind of like, oh, you got to be kidding me now. Which is what I wonder. Like, was he being a bad teammate or were they being a bad front office?
Based on not just the Mookie Betts trade, which, I mean, again, they got essentially pennies on the dollar for, same kind of here, if you ask me. It feels like there's been a bit of a disconnect there. Part of that article that I was referencing, they even mentioned the Red Sox were potentially, they weren't just looking at Bregman as a free agent. They were looking at other third basemen in general, one a bit closer to home. Supposedly, they were also looking at maybe even trading for Arenado.
Wow.
But again, you just said it. Devers, you're not a great defensive third baseman.
He's a great hitter. He's not a great defensive third baseman.
If you bring in Arenado, that's a gold platinum glover right there.
That's correct. So, again, they weren't asking him to take a pay cut.
No, they're still saying, hey, here's your $300 million.
Yeah, they just needed somebody who could play third base better because you're not going to do it. And you either can't or won't. One of the two. So, it's not really their responsibility to me to ask his permission to go get a better fielder than him.
I agree with that, like 100%. I mean,
I wonder if this was like the final straw for him, or he became a baby when they did that and decided, you know, just took his glove and went home.
I assume it's a bit more of the, hey, front office.
Maybe. Because now it would be going to the Giants. Now he's like, yeah, I'll do anything they ask me to do. So I, whatever happened,
went sour quick.
I don't know if you saw the last night Dodgers and Padres played, and I love that this is like a real, it feels like a real rivalry. I feel like we don't have a lot of that in pro sports anymore. Like everybody's friends with each other.
Yeah.
And they all trade jerseys and dap each other and give hugs and laugh and stuff after games, even if you're the loser. And I feel like baseball might be one of the few remaining pro sports that like where they like there's legitimate dislike. And these dudes, so Fernando Tatis gets beaned in the hand, which a little scary. Like that was not a good one in the top of the ninth last night. And obviously the Padres responded by hitting Otani. Came up and in. Like he got hit in the shoulder. He turned his back. But like that was high.
Yeah.
And, you know, benches cleared. Dave Roberts pushed Mike Schilt. The managers were getting involved. So there, I feel like there's legitimate beef between these teams. And I love it.
Like, I'm all for it. Bring the action back.
It is June, and I'm like, yeah, that's exciting. Like, give me some baseball excitement. Like, you know, some real heat in baseball. Which because we're almost at a point to where baseball's all we got for a few months. It's not my favorite part of the calendar. I love summer, but it's not my favorite part of the sports calendar because like the dog days of summer with baseball get, especially as a Cardinals fan these days, gets real boring. And so if I can get some heat between some real heat between and not some manufactured heat, like I honestly kind of feel like Yankees Red Sox doesn't have the spice it used to. It feels like it's made for TV now. But I feel like Padres Dodgers has some actual stuff behind it, which makes me happy. I love it. Hey, also speaking of baseball, Coastal Carolina is in the College World Series finals.
Yes.
Against LSU, which is awesome. What? I mean, I feel like I talked to Jeffrey about this. Is it in college baseball, it's not as big of an upset for teams like this to get into a finals, right? Like, I feel like Cal State Fullerton has been in College World Series finals and, like, teams like that that you would never, that don't compete really highly. I know Coastal had a good football team a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they don't compete at the highest level in any other of the big sports, right?
No, I mean, keep in mind, I guess with baseball, I don't know if it's regional or I don't even think it's regional because, I mean, if you look at the field from the College World Series, it was one or two SEC teams.
Yeah.
We had LSU, Arkansas. Last handful of winners are all SEC teams, sure.
Yeah.
But you had Coastal, who ended up making it all the way to the finals.
Yep.
Louisville is in there. Murray State,
man.
The Racers getting in there. So it's kind of just from an Oregon State.
Yeah.
Which I understand Oregon State, historically, awesome program.
Yes.
That type of thing. But it's kind of just from wherever. I don't know if Coastal's the first Sun Belt team to make it.
They might be the first to make it to a final. I'd have to look that up. But that's awesome. I love it. I think it's great that
it's something different.
It's something totally different. And you're getting a best of three series, so it's not even one of those to where
it's not a one and done.
It's not a one and done. I think it makes it exciting. Would it help? Again, we don't care about ratings. Would more people watch it if it was like Texas and LSU? Probably, yes. But I think it's more interesting that it's Coastal and LSU. It is a blue blood baseball program versus a Sun Belt team.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I'm all fired up for it. It should be a ton of fun this
fun
weekend.
Fun sports weekend, man. Like a sneaky fun sports weekend.
We've got game 7.
Yep.
We've got a really cool men's college world series going on. If you're into the soccer, you've got the Gold Cup.
Got the Gold Cup. Yeah. And we probably have, I'm sure there's Club World Cup games happening this weekend too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What else do we have going on this weekend for hockey's over, sadly.
Hockey's over,
so,
yeah.
But the parade is coming up. I don't know if that's today or sometime over the weekend.
Yep.
But there's always craziness that happens there.
Sneaky good. Sneaky good sports weekend. And then we start to hit the dog days after that.
Yeah, but, I mean, we've got the NBA draft next week.
That's true. We do have the NBA draft. And we have picks, so we can pay attention now.
Yeah. We have to pay attention
and,
now.
Until we trade them away, we have picks and we can pay attention now. Fantastic. And then we're carrying that right here on the station, right?
Absolutely.
Look at us go. We're cross-promoting. God, we're such good employees. I'm such a good part-time fill-in employee. Look at me go. All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, Parth Upadhyay is going to join us. We're going to ask him about some Memphis Tigers and who else knows what. I'm going to see what else I can ask him about. Throw some curveballs at him, speaking of baseball. All right, you're listening to the Jason and John Show. I'm J.R. Moore filling in. 99 FM ES.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
PN. Welcome back to the show, everybody. If you ever wanted to feel old, I just spent the last 60 seconds trying to explain what Yacht Rock is to our next guest. Welcome, everybody. It's Parth Upadhyay from the Daily Memphian. I told him I was so excited. Me and George have been jamming on Yacht Rock at all the bumps every break. And I said, it's first day of summer. It's Yacht Rock Friday. He goes, who's Yacht Rock?
Not what is Yacht Rock, but who is Yacht Rock?
Yeah, I was like, oh my God. And then I tried to explain to him things that had where the year started with 19, and he started to gloss over, and I was like, you'll know it when you hear it.
Man, I was born in 1997. I was born with a year starting in 19, just making that very clear.
Man, well, boy, I was like, I had to ask him he said, who's Yacht Rock? I said, how old are you? And he said, I'm 27. How old are you? I was like, don't ask. I don't want to tell. Oh, man. All right. Well, welcome, Parth. Thanks for coming in today.
No, appreciate y'all. Absolutely.
All right. So, I have a question. I'm going to qualify. My first love in my life was the Memphis State Tigers basketball team. My mother used to talk me into wearing these stupid little smocked outfits as a boy because she told me that Keith Lee had one just like it. So, if you can imagine a 6'11" Keith Lee with tall knee socks and a smocked outfit with sailboats on it and short shorts that had the little suspender straps. That's what my mom was trying to get me to wear. And she was like, Keith Lee's got one. And I was like, well, if he's got one, I'm wearing one. My whole youth sports through high school, I wore the number 10 because Andre Turner wore the number 10.
But, that's awesome. Like, yeah.
That was legitimately my first love. So I say all that to say, you're in the inside. You got the inside scoop. Is Dane Danger coming back? Blink twice if you know the answer.
I don't think anybody can say with any certainty when it comes to the NCAA with the Danger or 2 years ago, DeAndre Williams, last year, Caleb Mills. You know, we've gone through this song and dance again and again. Yes. Here we are, I think, third consecutive offseason, I said, of this thing playing out. And the thing with these types of situations is, the NCAA is not going to speak to media. It's not going to necessarily frequently correspond with the University of Memphis either until it's reached a final decision. Now, of course, there's processes in between that where there may be some back and forth or something along those lines, but until it's reached a final decision, it's not going to go speak to media. And even after it's reached a final decision, it may not speak to media.
Sure. So. I mean, it's crazy that, everything leaks. Everything gets out, except I feel like these things never get out until kind of a way, let's be fair. For Dane, even for Dane, let's think for Dane, whatever his decision making, what's his decision making working? Because obviously I think he wants to come back to Memphis, but let's just say they finally come back and say you can't. So is he I want to come back here, but I'm preparing to do this thing over on this other road? Or does he have all his eggs in the Memphis basket? And if it doesn't work out, does he have to do a complete 180 and shift where for his future, and I'm not saying let's worry about the kid, but also,
Dane's a good dude.
Let's worry about Dane.
Let's worry about Dane Danger.
You know, it's kind of a weird thing to have your future that much up in the air and you have zero control over it.
No, and that's been one of the, I guess, fascinating is a weird term here because I'm sure it's not fun for Dane. Yeah. But from my vantage point as a journalist, just talking to people, around Dane Danger and that sort of thing, how is he handling this period of limbo? Right?
Absolutely. Like, it's got to be awful.
Is he keeping his head up? Is he optimistic? Is he preparing for something else? What's going on?
Yep.
And the way it's been framed to me is like, you know, his priority and focus remains on returning to Memphis.
Sure.
But he is not putting all his eggs in that basket, which is why you're seeing him working out with the Memphis Grizzlies, the Milwaukee
gotcha.
Bucks, the Indiana Pacers. You know, there's a small list of teams that he has had workouts with.
Sure.
NBA teams. And I'm told that, you know, throughout that workout process, he's drawn some interest as a, obviously a summer league guy, which a lot of guys do
right.
draw interest in that regard, but maybe even a Exhibit 10 type of
gotcha.
Player. Right.
I mean, do you think he has legitimate chances as being like getting a G League, not even necessarily a two way, but just getting on a G League team to try to work his way up to the NBA?
I think
or is
so.
He a guy destined to play overseas?
Yeah, I think he'll at least get a G League shot. I would assume, you know, a player with his skill set and his
yep.
length, he may not be the modern big and may not fit the modern NBA,
sure.
but the stuff he does, which is finishing around the rim, his footwork, he does those things at an extremely high level, so I do think he'll get a G League shot at least.
Gotcha.
Yes.
All right, so but as far as vibes around the program, they're not even lead. Do you think they're not leading on they know anything or that they legitimately don't know?
I think they don't know a final answer.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense.
Sure, but they're not giving into like what they think's going to happen, or do you think they have like an idea and they're hoping for the best?
I think it's the idea and hoping for the best. We talked to Penny. I guess it would have been Wednesday night. Yeah,
yep.
At the Tigers on Tour event in Lakeland, and we got him for a short amount of time. But he was asked about Dane Danger and how he felt about things or if he'd heard anything, and he said he has not heard a final decision like we talked about.
Gotcha.
But that he's still. Optimistic. He's still hoping for the best.
He's always optimistic.
He's a glass half full
he
guy.
He really
right?
is. Like I give that guy all the credit in the world. He is always optimistic.
So it's hard to you got to take his comments and maybe turn the volume down on them a little bit when it comes
yep.
to the sunshine and rainbows. But that's from Penny's mouth itself, right?
Sure, so. I get that. Okay, so moving on to like the actual roster we have and
yep.
the season upcoming. Last year the Tigers had I would say very surprisingly great results against. Highly ranked name brand teams.
Oh, yes.
Nobody expected that kind of success against
10-3
them.
10-3 in the non-conference.
Yeah,
no,
that's
nobody.
Pretty incredible. And they are stacking up. Like, they got some tough games early on again this year, right off the bat. Is there any reason to believe that they could, with this roster, could they have similar success or results this year? Or do you think, like, everything changes so much, and everything, even just not just with roster turnover, even in college basketball and the budgets that are being able to spend. Do you think the budget gap between these the Power Four conferences and Memphis, that gap starts to become more evident based on results on the floor? Or do you think like Memphis is still like a really good brand of basketball and have good talent, and they still can compete with these big boys? Like, do you think we're going to have great results in non-con again, this upcoming year?
I think it's hard to say, obviously. And, you know, Penny surprised us all before, right?
Yeah,
like
for
you
sure.
said, last season, even with the portal class they had put together with
yep.
PJ Haggerty, Tyrese Hunter, Dane Danger, yes, it was a good class.
Oh,
but
I don't
we
think
still
anybody
had a bunch
ever. They were,
right?
Yeah, they seemed better. They ended up being way better than anybody expected them to be last year. So,
for sure.
And is there any reason to be like this year has the potential to be the same?
Yeah, so I'll start by saying this. There's a lot of talk, obviously, about. You know, we had questions last year, which we did, which
yep.
is fair. But I think there's a little bit of revisionist history in us saying that, oh, we were expecting Memphis to be down last year. Or, you know, they had last year, 2024,
yep.
23 and 22, they've had the 13th or better portal class each of those years, right?
Yes.
So on paper, the roster was still very talented. This year is where you see a little bit of a drop off. And I think that's because of what you just described before, right?
Right.
The gap is widening because of. You know, one, the house settlement, right?
Yes.
And two, just inflation, transfer
sure.
portal inflation,
yeah.
man. Like,
it really is.
Schools
the button
have
is just getting, if you got the money
up.
To spend, you can spend it. And if you don't, you don't.
Like, this portal class ranks 40th in the country on
247
Sports, right?
That's good for a,
No, trust me. Yeah, it's good for a group of five schools. Is that what you're going to say?
Yes.
Sorry. For Memphis's aspirations to compete with the bluest of the blue bloods in college basketball, it's not quite there, but there is a lot of talent. There's just a lot of unproven talent. What I mean by that is, yeah, Aaron Bradshaw, number five recruit out of high school in 2023. Sincere Parker, you look at his per 40 stats, they jump off the page, man. They're right up there with PJ Haggerty's and
right?
Kendrick Davis and David Jones. Doug McDaniel had a great year 2 years ago. that list kind of goes on and on. Zach Davis, right? The wing out of South Carolina.
Sure.
But you're asking all these guys to evolve, either evolve or return to form
right.
from what they were two seasons ago or what they were in high school.
Sure.
A lot of question marks across the board. But if Penny can get the most out of these guys the way he did Dane Danger and even David Jones, like David Jones was not on anybody's radar to
That's
be
true.
A All-American candidate type player two seasons ago.
Yes.
He was a guy who, what, averaged 11, 12, 13 points a game at St. John's.
Yeah.
Was very inefficient, was considered a shot chucker.
Yeah.
Not my words, other people's words that I'd spoken to at that time.
I mean, he kind of lived up to that.
But he was efficient. No, all right, a little, you got me there. You got
me
there.
Listen, that class was very talented. If we could get that class without the toxicity, that'd be awesome.
Oh, my God. It was all, the issues were between the ears, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't anything
no, it was
physical
on the floor.
Or.
No, they had players,
they had plenty
boy.
Of skill,
they
man.
Had, they had some players.
My point being, if assuming, and you got to give Penny the benefit of the doubt, like last year, chemistry and toxicity were not issues, right?
No.
So assuming that's been cleaned up,
yeah.
and we can assume that because the staff is coming back aside from Jordan Werholz, right?
Sure.
So that's good continuity there.
Yep.
And then additionally, assuming that you've got the right type of guys in terms of players, character-wise,
right.
mentality-wise, guys who are going to buy in. And then the third assumption would be that he can tap into the best version of these guys the way he has for David Jones, the way he has for Dane Danger and
yeah.
others, right?
Yeah.
And if he can do that, this might be a team that can surprise some folks.
For sure. I mean, I'm surprised that last year's team, it feels like them being ranked 13th in the portal transfer was like, they got that ranking should have come out after the season. That wasn't that shouldn't have been a preseason ranking because we had seen Dane Danger was at Illinois, right? And he was like in the tournament.
He's a role player.
He was a role player at Illinois. Like, okay, that doesn't seem like a guy who would make your rating or your ranking be high. And then Haggerty is coming from Tulsa. Also doesn't seem like it would make your ranking
but
be
high.
But
he's one of the best scorers in the country.
I mean, yes, but it was at Tulsa.
It was at Tulsa,
Somebody has to shoot the ball, even on bad teams.
No, for
and
sure.
And so,
for
you
sure.
know, that. So that I didn't put a lot of I was wrong,
yes.
clearly wrong, but I personally didn't put a lot of stock in, okay, a guy from a bad AAC team is coming here. I don't care that he scores a lot of points. Again, somebody has to shoot the ball. The Tyrese Hunter thing, I thought coming from Texas, I thought, okay.
That was a great
That's
get.
A great get.
Great.
But
get.
Outside of that, I thought.
And Colby Rogers, a 40%
yeah, that's true.
Percent three-point shooter, a that's, career 40% three-point shooter who was recruited heavily
yeah.
last offseason by the likes of Kansas,
that's
Alabama,
true.
And others. You know?
That's true. I didn't give that the credit it deserved as well. And so I guess that seems like a high ranking of the portal.
For sure.
Going into the season. I think it panned out to be true.
Absolutely.
But I did not see that coming in ahead of time. And so, you know, it's like restocking with the best of the AAC to as far as all your transfers go. Slightly worrisome. However, I felt like their chemistry was awesome last year.
Absolutely.
And so does that, you know, if you – is it kind of like one of those things to where you kind of crack the code on like, all right, I know the kind of player I got to get, and I also know I'm getting better at – or Pitt, I say I as in Penny, is getting better at managing the egos and personalities. Is he getting better at that? And was that evident? Did he learn a lot from the David Jones year of like, oh my gosh, the rails came off of this?
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Egos why? And did he learn like, okay, however I treated the situation, I cannot do that again? Do you think he is growing as a coach in that aspect?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah. he's growing as a coach from the X's and O's aspect. Of course, yeah. we see that with the wins and losses, but a lot of that starts now, right? A lot
sure.
of that starts on June 1st.
Yeah.
A lot of that starts before June 1st, quite frankly, when you're identifying what type of guys, not just talent-wise, but
sure.
what type of guys mentally kind of embody your principles and your program and what type of guys are going to buy in.
Yep.
And I think he did a great job of that last year. Like, I would talk to guys like PJ Haggerty, like Colby Rogers, like Musa Cisse last season
yep.
when they committed and just kind of ask them, like, you know, well, I guess Musa had already been here, but the others who had not,
yep.
what did you see on your visit? What stood out to you? What made you want to, you know, put your trust in Penny Hardaway in Memphis, right?
Sure.
And the things they would say, to me at least, from an outsider's perspective, kind of,
yep,
seem drastically different from the things that the guys from the year past said,
absolutely.
Right? Like the David Jones, Javon Quinterly, Jordan Brown
yep.
group of guys. This team, the players were more talking about Penny Hardaway emphasizing the tradition at Memphis,
yeah.
and playing for the city and showing them what this program has been, right?
Sure.
Like in the past, like
yeah.
what the heights that it's reached, because you know, people can forget that Memphis has three Final Four appearances,
yeah.
two national title game appearances,
right.
was a couple minutes and missed free throws away from winning a title
yep.
in 2008. Like,
thanks for bringing that up. sorry.
Sorry, listeners. I'm just saying.
Too soon?
the guys who are 19, 20, 21, 22 years old now may not
be as familiar with those
accomplishments. So sure. Penny is reminding them what this is all about, what the Memphis brand is about, and saying that there will be non-negotiables. Here's what they are. If you want to play here, come on. We'd love to have you. But these are the things that we will not negotiate.
Yeah.
And it worked out splendidly, obviously.
I think that's great. I'd love to hear that. Do you think there's anybody on this roster that is, on this upcoming roster, that is one of those, I'm not saying a great NBA player, but an NBA talent. Like, they have potential to where they would find themselves, almost like Josh Minot, who did not get on the floor for the Tigers, and when he declared for the draft, you're like, what? And then turns out, I mean, you know, it's not like he's a star, but like, he is... He makes appearances in NBA basketball games, and which I would not have expected when he was here with the Tigers. Is there anybody on the roster that's like, and I ask that because draft's on the brain, and now the Grizzlies have picks, and so we're talking about it. And it got me thinking, like, I don't know anything about these dudes that are coming on this roster because we turn the roster over every year. No fault of Memphis's. Is there anybody who fits that bill?
Yeah, I think the most likely candidate is Aaron Bradshaw, right?
Gotcha.
This is a guy who was coming out of high school predicted to be a one-and-done lottery pick in that next year's draft, in the 24 draft, right? Even, I believe, when he committed to Ohio State last year, there were draft experts who still had him in their first round, right, in their mocks.
Yeah.
Obviously, that has not panned out, and he's not on mocks currently because of the rockiness that...
But there's got to be something there to even land on those mocks to begin with. There's got to be something there.
There's got to be something there to be a number 5 overall recruit out of your high school class, a McDonald's All-American, a Jordan Brand Classic participant. A guy who was considered maybe not generational, it's a really strong word, but just one of those unicorn-type guys who's 7'1", can face you up, can shoot the three, can take you off the dribble. Like, they don't grow on trees, man.
No, they do not.
There's something there for sure, and you would hope that with Penny's kind of offensive freedom and the freedom he allows on that regard, as long as he does the defensive stuff, you hope that that unlocks that untapped potential.
I think that would be great. Has there any been, slightly shifting gears, has there any been any talk or vibe or have any of just thoughts inside the program of the possible realignment talk? How I feel like every realignment talk we've talked about, you know, the football and the Pac-12, but the last thing, you know, we heard was maybe, you know, possible football going to Pac-12 and everything else going to the Big East. Would that be a thing? You know, sometimes when you're the best team in your league, it's nice to be the best team in your league, and you get to, and it makes your life easier. Even though there are constraints by that, it does make your life easier that you can all usually count on being the best team in your league. And if you go to a harder league for maybe not even a lot more money, but you're still in a harder league. Are there any thoughts inside the program that have been like, it would be nice to be in the Big East?
I mean, I think, it'd be crazy for them not to have those thoughts. I don't know for sure, but I can't imagine a single person that's a part of that basketball program, like, Penny Hardaway included, that you know, wouldn't at least think, oh man, wouldn't that be nice to, you know, play the likes of UConn and Creighton,
St. John's
on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, Butler. That list goes on and on, right? Like, so, of course, that's
it's got to be like one of those. Yes, it makes my job harder in the wins and losses category, but for the plight of getting butts in seats, it would be sure would help that. To be bringing those kind of schools,
and that was a major issue
into the forum
last year, even with an All-American point guard, with your most wins since 2013,
I
believe.
Had a great year and could not get anybody in the building.
Best seed since the Cal era, and couldn't get, you know, more than 6,000-7,000 in the building on a regular basis. That's tough, man.
That's tough, and we've finally gotten to the point to where even when you're good, there's a lot of stuff going on. And it's easy to watch games home.
That's out of Memphis' control. That's exactly right.
It's out of their control. And you got to be able to put – you can't just be good. Being good is not enough to get 12,000 people to come downtown.
But it's not the end-all be-all.
It's not the end-all be-all. You also need to have interesting games that with other name brands that mean something. And so I get it. All right. Producer George is telling me we got to wrap it up. Parth, thank you so much for coming in today. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, man.
Parth Apajai from the Daily Memphian. All right, we got one more little tiny segment, I think, coming up on the Jason and John Show. You're listening to the Jason and John Show. I said that twice. I'm Jared Moore filling in on 99 FM ESPN. Man, I love this so much. Yacht Rock Fridays. I feel like this should be now a new theme on the Jason and John Show for the entire summer. Yacht Rock Fridays.
You might have to run that by Brad, not me.
Maybe so. I bet Brad loves Yacht Rock. There is no doubt about it. Jason and John, maybe not so much, but I bet Brad loved.
Oh, Jason does.
Jason loves Yacht Rock.
Oh, Jason gets it. Anytime I play like something like that, he's all over it.
Oh gosh! All right, we got to work on John on this. All right. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you to our guests, Partha Pajai and Jeffrey Wright. Coming up next on the station, it's Jeffrey Wright and Company from 2 to 4. Who's he got on this show? Do you know?
Yes, we have Tim Murray is our company for the day. Blake Topmeyer coming up at 2:30.
Nice. Thank you to producer George for running the show today. My name is Jerry Moore. Hey, if you're looking for something to do tomorrow and you like 90s country, come on down to Slider Inn. It's a big party. Other than that, go see Third Eye Blind. All right. My name is J.R. Moore. You've been listening to the Jason and John Show on 99 FM ESPN. Have a great weekend, Memphis.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.